Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
Aaron Rodgers carried in the flag and was carried out on a cart in one of the most historic and memorable Monday Night Footballs and season debuts that we will ever remember. If you watch this game on Monday night, just a shocking story. As an entire offseason of drama, Aaron Rodgers deciding whether or not to stay a professional football player or retire, decided to keep playing, facilitated the move to New York with the Jets. It became the biggest story in the National Football League this offseason. The largest media market in America goes into a total frenzy with media outlets that can't stand Aaron Rodgers suddenly becoming Aaron Rodgers fans because he's the biggest story in New York, and New York is going crazy for Aaron Rodgers. Jets fans everywhere and all the people that gobble up newspapers, websites, radio broadcasts, television reports, and podcasts suddenly had to say all these wonderful things about how Aaron Rodgers was all in. He's the man. The Jets are turning it around. This is amazing. They did it because of business. And the second this happened, the turnabout was remarkable. I'd swear if I didn't know better, Adam Schefter was dancing on Aaron Rodgers' grave at halftime of this game last night. It was in many ways pathetic to see that and to see some of the reaction on social media. The hatred out there for this man is intense, and it will only grow. It was stunning. It was a beautiful moment with a double rainbow over New York on 9/11. Aaron Rodgers, a conservative, an outspoken teller of truth, the person that breaks through all of the ridiculous woke speak in sports and in media, bashing the NFL for forcing players to take shots or having mandates and separating teammates with those who took a shot and didn't take a shot. This was our guy. And all I've heard in reaction since is, love him or hate him, Aaron Rodgers. No, they only say that about conservatives. Love him or hate him. You never hear anybody say that about somebody that's woke. You don't even hear it about LeBron James. Love him or hate him, you don't hear that. There's so much hate for LeBron James, but people don't say that. Aaron Rodgers is that guy. In stunning fashion, his first drive at age 39, as quarterback of the Jets, he goes down on his fourth play, apparently rupturing his Achilles heel, which we will learn at some point on Tuesday, when the MRI is concluded. It seems almost inevitable now that this is the case. One of the reasons you like listening to this podcast is I do move the ball. This is a terribly sad story, as it was likely Aaron Rodgers' final game. If it's an Achilles, he's not coming back this year. It seems unlikely that he'd come back and play another year, go through all of the rehab, and try to come back and play professional football. The reality is Aaron Rodgers will be 40 years old next year. The reality is 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers tried to make a move to avoid a defensive end about to sack him, a move that for the last 15, 20 years Aaron Rodgers has been able to do in college and pro football with ease. He was never a running quarterback, but he was one of the best ever at stepping up and out of the pocket or spinning around and getting out of the pocket and avoiding the pass rusher, thus creating the opportunity to scramble a few yards and throw the football. He's one of the best we've ever seen at that. That was never really part of Tom Brady's game. It was never really part of Peyton Manning's game. The quarterbacks that use that as part of their game, their shelf life is lower. Aaron Rodgers sits it at 39. Brett Favre was great with the Packers, but not so good with the Jets and the Vikings. As he got older in his last 3 years, he couldn't make that move, get away from the sacks, and make the same plays he made when he was a younger player. This unfortunately caught up with Aaron Rodgers. The type of player Aaron Rodgers was, the Hall of Fame player that Aaron Rodgers was, he just isn't that guy. You could see it in the early snaps. You could see it in the preseason. We saw some of it last year. A couple of years ago, he was an MVP. If he had perfect protection and could stand in the pocket and have a clean pocket and open receivers, Rodgers could probably pick you apart. The Jets were never going to be that team. They have some offensive line issues. Aaron Rodgers, again, is the kind of guy that spins, gets out, steps up, gets out, and makes plays. Not like Josh Allen, not like Patrick Mahomes, but it is a fundamental part of his game. And I think what he learned last night is that part of his career is over. Thus, his career as a quarterback is likely over. It's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. I've said my entire career, I don't feel sorry for athletes. They get a chance to go do something that you and I never got to do. They get a chance to do the things that we loved as a kid, or maybe as a high school player, or even a college player, but never as a professional player, to make millions of dollars on the biggest of stage and win the MVP and win Super Bowls. I will always remember Aaron Rodgers for being the quarterback that could step up, step out, or stand in the pocket with a flick of a wrist and toss it 50 yards down, soft as a dove landing in Jordy Nelson's hands, running into the end zone. He threw the most beautiful ball I've ever seen any quarterback throw. The ball that came out of his hands was the most catchable ball of any quarterback I've ever seen. And I hate doing this podcast, but I believe it's over. I've been an Aaron Rodgers fan for a long time. Was never personally a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I knew that he had family issues. He went through a lot of girlfriends. There was a lot of drama and things like that. And I knew he was a little bit odd, that he's an isolated guy, that he liked to do things like we saw this offseason where he went in the dark cave or the dark room for a few days. We knew that he went to these weird retreats in other countries. He's a different dude. So I never really identified with that, but watching him play football and watching him spin the ball and his trademark, absolute trademark throw was that simple little flick. And it would go 38 yards downfield to the sideline and just drop right in the hands of the receiver so softly that you knew you could catch it. It was like the egg toss. It was just gorgeous. This guy was a great, great player. And this was going to be a great story this year, that he was going to quarterback the Jets, and nobody expected him to be the Aaron Rodgers of 10 years ago. But a 39-year-old healthy Aaron Rodgers seemed like he was going to get the Jets to probably 11 or 12 or more wins. The defense is insane. It should be noted, the Jets were stunned. The stadium was silent. The players were in shock. The coach looked like he didn't know what to do. They found themselves down 13-3, and the dang Jets came back and won. With Zach Wilson, a second-year player at quarterback, who is not polished and is not great, was good enough because the Jets' defense is all freaking world. Aaron Rodgers had a game plan. He had the same game plan that broke the mold when Peyton Manning did it. How did Peyton Manning do this? If you look back to what the Chiefs had a good defense. The reason Joe Montana came here after his career in San Francisco was the offensive line. He said, that's a better offensive line, I'm going there. And the Chiefs had a fine defense, so he picked Kansas City and came here. And he played well, and the Chiefs immediately got better because Joe Montana was leading them. But in the end, he was too old and too frail. He got knocked around, he had injuries, he got his head slammed on the turf, and he couldn't finish. Brett Favre, very similar. But Peyton Manning broke the mold. We didn't see it coming. He had the neck, the spine injury, the back injury. And he went to Denver. And the first couple of years in Denver, he was really, really, really good. By the time he won the Super Bowl in 2015, Peyton Manning wasn't very good. But he was Peyton Manning, and they kept him upright, and they had an unbelievable defense. And he rode that defense to the Super Bowl. I think they gave up 10 points in the Super Bowl. The Broncos did, maybe, when Peyton Manning won his second Super Bowl. Then Tom Brady saw that and said, you know what? Maybe I can extend my career and keep playing if I get to the right team. And lo and behold, how did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win the Super Bowl with Tom Brady? To this day, the most stunning defensive performance against Patrick Mahomes. They stopped the Chiefs. And Brady was the recipient of that. Played nicely in the game, but let's be honest. Tampa won that Super Bowl because of their defense. The Broncos, with Peyton Manning, won because of their defense. Aaron Rodgers had a great strategy here. I don't have to be Superman like 10 years ago. I just got to go there, make good decisions, not turn it over, and when the game's on the line, make a play or two. And we're going to win a whole bunch of games. This was really, really sad to watch. He was a great player. Media hated him. He was conservative. He didn't take the shot. And I don't know what the postscript is going to be here, but I suggest, I would think that a lot of people are going to suggest that Aaron Rodgers should have retired. There was a glee in their voices. There was a happiness, and here's what it was. You think you know so much about training and medicine, and you're smarter than everyone else. telling people that you didn't want to take the shot and you know what's best for your health, and look what happened. You snapped your Achilles, which, by the way, is a very common thing for an older football player to go through. I can make a really strong argument that you should not be 39 years old playing in the NFL. Tom Brady's a freak, an absolute freak. I worry that Travis Kelce is getting old. I worry that Chris Jones on another contract would be too old. All of these things we've been talking about on the podcast. And as sad as it is to say, it will be a footnote. There will be a time, as much as we have that game in our mind and how horrible that was, there will be a time where we kind of forget that it happened. We'll be, oh, that's right, he was a Jet for a second, wasn't he? We'll get to a point where we really don't remember it. God willing, we live long enough. Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, completed his last pass as a Green Bay Packer. He was 0-for-1 with 0 yards and a sack in this game with the Jets, and I personally don't think he'll ever play again. I can't imagine him doing it. Do the surgery, do some rehab, go live your life, and God bless Aaron Rodgers. This is just a terrible thing. Now, the football side of this is a little bit remarkable because they did come back and win the game, and they did it with a guy who was featured on the documentary series Hard Knocks on HBO, Gibson, the rookie out of Stephen F. Austin, who turned heads in this documentary and then returned a punt in overtime to win the game for the Jets. The Jets cannot win football games like the Chiefs. They won't. They can't just line up, have their quarterback take over a game and beat you. And they won't win a lot of games late, although they won this one late. They won't win a lot of games late. And the reason you know that is, in the tie game, with a couple of minutes left, they're just wanting Buffalo to use their timeouts to kick, so the Jets can kick a field goal and take the lead, knowing that our defense is going to come on the field with it. At no point did they try to throw the ball in the end zone and score a touchdown to win the game. They were going to allow Buffalo to try to come downfield with one timeout left and see if their defense could pick the ball off, stop them, whatever. They didn't. They left them with a field goal. The field goal was good, and the game went to overtime. The Jets got a stop in overtime. The punt happened, and there came the return. I can't imagine the Jets were going to score offensively in overtime. I can't imagine that. So they got the kick return. They'll have to do it in unique ways. The Chiefs play them the 1st of October. It's right around the corner. I think it's game 4 for the Chiefs. There will obviously be no Aaron Rodgers that night. And again, we'll wait on the MRI results, but it looks like he'll be out for the year. And I think Aaron Rodgers' career is over. And that is a sad day for football fans. It just truly is. He's been a great performer. He has provided us with some incredible moments. I think his silliest and sickest throw was one that beat the Chiefs, where he was falling down and just kind of slung it to the back corner of the end zone. And yes, he's a great player, and yes, that was a lucky throw to beat the Chiefs. He's threw some Hail Marys in his career. Some people believe that he just threw a Hail Mary ball that was easier to catch. I don't know. He will be known as the quarterback who threw the ball that was just easier to catch. That was his forte. Aaron Rodgers, quite a player. And I will not say whether you like him or not, because I did like him. But I love football, and I love quarterbacks. And Aaron Rodgers never did anything to me that made me want to root against him, truly. Now, if he was the Broncos quarterback all these years, I probably wouldn't like Aaron Rodgers. But doggone it, there were a lot of lean years where the Chiefs stunk, and you're just an NFL fan watching players play. And that he was just easier to root for and watch play than some of these guys in this generation now. Josh Allen, what a train wreck. I mean, this guy has all the ability in the world, and he cannot. Dude, he needs some Xanax or something. He needs to calm the flip down. My God. And he's going to get killed. If he keeps playing like he did Monday night, he's just going to get destroyed and be physically so beaten that he won't be able to play. 4 turnovers in the game for Josh Allen. He's a spaz. Joe Burrow passed for 82 yards on Sunday, 14 of 31. Have you ever seen Patrick Mahomes play like Josh Allen did Monday night, or ever seen Patrick Mahomes play like Joe Burrow did Sunday? The answer is no, you've never seen that. That's why we don't compare Patrick Mahomes to the other quote-unquote great quarterbacks in the league. We also haven't consistently watched Patrick Mahomes lose games like Justin Herbert Rivers. There's really good quarterbacks out there, but doggone it, they can't figure out how to make the next step and become great and win these games. They just haven't done it. They haven't been able to do it. And one of the greats is now gone, and that is Aaron Rodgers. All right, on to some Chiefs news here. The Chiefs signed Chris Jones to a one-year contract, and we're left asking ourselves, what the hell was this all about? We did a patron podcast on this on Monday, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on this, but the question is, what the hell was this all about? Why wasn't Chris Jones here? Why wasn't he in camp? Why didn't he play in the first game? Would it have made a difference? No, the Chiefs defense played great. Chiefs defense was fine. Chiefs' problem was their receivers. It's pretty rare in an NFL game. You can just point to something and say, well, there's why they lost. But when you have a game with a player like Kadarius Toney, where somebody who put on Twitter is actually correct, where they said, if Kadarius Toney just knocked down the ball every time it was thrown to him, the Chiefs would have won. That's true. They would have. So Chris Jones wasn't the deciding factor in that game. But I just asked the question, what was this all about? He was under contract for 1 year. He's still under contract for 1 year. They apparently gave him some more money and some incentives to come in and do this. I'm not sure I know exactly why they did this. The writing is on the wall. He is not staying here long term. He's going to the highest bidder in the offseason, period. The Chiefs are not likely to be the highest bidder in the offseason, period. That's that. The unfortunate part is the Chiefs are going to get nothing for him. There'll be no trade. There'll be no return. It's just this year. The Chiefs are all in. They believe they have their answers of young players on the defensive line and that they'll be fine. They want Chris Jones and his leadership for one more year. I think they're hoping George Karloftis becomes one of those leaders and becomes a player like that. Nick Bolton can fill the void. There's some players there, but they want one more year out of Chris Jones. This was a total push. All right, if he lost $3 million in missed bonuses and fines already, and $1 million from game one, that's $4 million. How much more did the Chiefs give him for this year? Or what if he doesn't reach his incentives? Who won here? Nobody won. The thing's going to be a dead push. They didn't give him a $10 million raise this year. They don't have that. This was stupid. This was as dumb as it gets, and I'm mad at Chris Jones. To be honest, I'm pissed at the guy. You play for the Chiefs, you know what their MO is. Travis Kelce's accepted it. Travis Kelce has said, I make a pile of money. I'm going to make another boatload of money after football. This is my team. This is my quarterback. I love it here. And I understand that it helps the team if I just play to my contract and don't go become a free agent and try to make $3 million a year more playing football. It is worth it for me to be here. I love Travis Kelce for that. Chris Jones should be following suit. But he's not. He wants to make the most money he can make. And I really don't have that much of a problem with that. My problem is when you're under contract for one more year, just come play for your contract and then be your free agent. If you couldn't work out a deal with your team, play out your contract and go be a free agent. Honor. You signed it. You signed the contract. You broke the contract. I don't know what you got out of this. You didn't gain anything financially. Let's be honest. There's no way Chris Jones is really going to benefit much financially from any of this. This became a situation where an agent or two agents, the Katz brothers, an agent and a general manager, that everything else was forgotten other than you just know what happened. It came down to, I want to win this. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about long-term. It wasn't about, I want to win this. This has gone on so far, it's become personal. I want to win the negotiation. And in the end, what did they do? They both caved on the same day and said, okay, let's sign something that makes no sense. We'll go back to where we were. They all waved a white flag and called a truce. That's what they did. A one-year deal is not, that's not a negotiation. This whole thing was ridiculous and silly. Other football news, Lance Leipold at the University of Kansas has announced that quarterback Jalen Daniels, running back Devin Neal, and wide receiver Luke Grimm are not practicing or had not practiced the first couple of days this week. Very limited in what they're doing. That's a lot of precaution, protection, or injury early in the year. We've discussed this. Jalen Daniels was electric in his first game against Illinois on Friday. And to be honest, they don't need any of these players this week. Nevada might be the worst team in the country. They're awful. I mean, they don't sound awful. A few years ago, they were pretty good. They were legit. They are absolutely terrible. They can't score against you and me. They're bad. Now, it is a road game. Coaches are always concerned. You have to be. The Big 12 looms right after that. this isn't really the week that he has to have these guys. So that's the good news, but it is a little alarming to hear that these players are so slowed so early in the year. KKHI is brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimagechaos.com. We were talking about this again yesterday, and we're scheduling our physicals there. They have a medical practice as well next door. I've got mine with Dr. Short there. I go and get my physical every year with Dr. Short, and then I'll get my imaging done for my heart scan. At the same time, we'll be doing that probably in November. That's when we did it last year. MedimageKS.com is the website. If you'd like to call and make an appointment, see what's inside at Advanced Medical Imaging. There's no reason to wait. The bottom line is, if you need an MRI, if your doctor says you need an MRI or a CT scan, do like Aaron Rodgers. Get it the next day. You can get this done at MedimageKS.com. You do not have to stay in the hospital system where your doctor's trying to send you. MedimageKS.com will take your insurance and get you your MRI or CT scan earlier, especially if you have a diagnosis for something, folks. Why wait? See what's inside. Advanced Medical Imaging, online at MedimageKS.com. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. Family-owned and operated in Belton, Missouri. They specialize in kitchen remodeling, countertop replacement, floor refinishing. Tim Cross is the owner, and he'll work on every single project with you. You're going to get a chance to meet him, sit down with him, discuss what the project is, and then have him do the job for you. Schedule a meeting to discuss it. They'll do a 3D rendering, show you what it's going to look like, and see if Cross Kitchens KC is the right fit for you and your remodel project. 816-898-7047. Online at crosskitchenskc.com. BeStock.net this week has new specials. They've got a Sony X80K 65-inch LED LCD TV, 4K, $399. All of the TVs are tested and inspected by their team of techs. They've got brand new ones. They've got open box ones. They're scratch and dents as low as $369. Some of them have a stuck pixel in the corner. Others have a scratch somewhere on the casing on the outside and can't be sold. And you can get them for $369. These are great for high school kids, college students, whatnot. The Apple iPad sale continues, $299, iPad 8. KKHI iPad is the code for listeners to get $30 off on the website. That brings it down even more. Beautiful stuff. And they've rearranged the showroom portion of the warehouse, and now all appliances are featured right there on the showroom. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, making crazy deals on them. Come check them out. Some of these could be as low as half price what you pay new at Nebraska Furniture Mart or Best Buy. Huge savings on appliances. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. One other college note, and this is mostly college football, but it's college athletics. I like this story because it shows me something that I didn't know about Kirk Schultz when he was the president at Kansas State. Kirk Schultz was president at K-State many years ago. He left and became the president at Washington State, which is a lateral move at best, but it wasn't going all that great for Kirk Schultz at K-State. Let's just say Kirk Schultz leans a little left for the folks in Manhattan. And the way the institution was being run, I think, was rubbing some people the wrong way. Not a bad guy. Likeable enough dude. He didn't do anything really terrible or offensive or whatever. It just wasn't really a good fit. So off to Washington State he goes, and he's been there for many, many years. He's been the president at Washington State. Well, as you know, Washington State and Oregon State are what everybody predicted Kansas State would be. Oh, realignment's coming. K-State, remember this? K-State and Iowa State will be left out in the cold. They're gone. They're gone. So they're going to the Mountain West. K-State and Iowa State are going to have the trains leaving the station, and there's no boxcar for these rummies. Well, it turns out it was the place where they don't care about sports all that much, out west, where people don't buy tickets and nobody watches on TV, and they chain themselves to trees and glue their feet to runways. It's just a different world. Let's just call it that. So Washington State and Oregon State are the ones left out in the cold here. And scheduled in the next week was going to be Pac-12 meetings by the presidents. They're going to have a Pac-12 conference meetings. And Kirk Schultz stepped up and said, wait a second, and got with the Oregon State president and said, whoa. Y'all aren't having Pac-12 meetings. You're all leaving. And they filed some sort of a claim or injunction, I don't know what the legal term is, and a judge has ruled in their favor that the Pac-12 presidents and the commissioner, Plevkoff, and ADs apparently, cannot meet and discuss the future of the league. There's the judge has passed this order. It's like a restraining order. Y'all can't get together and meet about the future of the league. That's against the rules. Here's who can do that. Washington State and Oregon State can organize it any way they want. The other 10 are gone. The musical chairs is over. There's two schools remain. It's up to them now. They essentially become the board of directors, and they can meet with whoever they want. Now, will there be legal challenges to this? I don't know. I'm not sure why I know the other Pac-12 schools would care. They shouldn't care about any of this at this point. But it just shows you the gall of these institutions, these bullies in college athletics that are bigger schools and have more money, that even after they're leaving, they want to run what they're in and not allow those that remain to decide what's best for them. I mean, I've heard of some bad divorces through the years. Couples that get into it and it just becomes bitter and entrenched and awful, and they hate each other, and the man or the woman or something is manipulative and driven to do whatever in the case to just completely wreck the other. It becomes spiteful, vengeance. That's all this is. Why would these other schools care about the future of the Pac-12 at this point? You're leaving. You're all out next year. Let them be. Let Washington State and Oregon State figure it out. If they can't find another conference to take them, let them figure out how to reconstruct their league. Stay the hell out of it. I don't spend a lot of time siding with judges or whatever, but this is just common sense. I don't think you need to know the law to know that this is common sense. In this area in college athletics, in this era, in this particular area of what's going on in college athletics during this era, this is very common sense. If you're the departed, you get no say. I don't think Oklahoma and Texas should have much to say in the Big 12. I don't think the last 2 years, if it were my league, I would have let them play for any titles. I'd have kept them out of everything. So we're taking a vote of the presidents. You're leaving, and you can't play in the Big 12 tournament. Something like that. I think I'd have done that. And hey, listen, if the athletes of those schools want to transfer to the other schools in the Big 12, they can transfer right now. There's no transfer laws. Why didn't the Big 12 do that to OU and Texas? The losers in the thing would have been the athletes, right? You can't play for a championship. We're not allowing it. We'll play our own championship since you're leaving. You're out. The Big 12 schools could have done that. The presidents could have gotten together and outvoted OU and Texas. And if they had, all the great athletes of those two schools would have gone to other schools. I think I'd have done it. That, in that case, that's the majority ruling. Not like the Pac-12, where the majority's leaving and they're trying to call the shots on the teams that are staying. Crazy sitch, man. Crazy situation. All right, before we hit the news, I want to thank our friends at Amini's for sponsoring KKHI. This is Amini's. Of course, they've got outdoor furniture. They've also got great things for your man cave or your game room this football season. Whether you're looking for something as simple as a cool poker table to put in your room, or pinball machine, or golden tee, maybe it's just new bar stools that you need. They've also got leather theater seating, awesome comfortable chairs, and area rugs for any room and occasion. It's all at Amini's. Online at Amini's.com. They're located at 105th and Metcalf. This is Amini's. Ticketsforless.com. No fees ever. Ever. I got an email yesterday from a guy who went to an Arkansas game last weekend. He's like, I'm just going to go see the Hogs play. And he got a 10% discount on his tickets right there at ticketsforless.com by using the promo code KKHI. Here's the best part. It just applies to anything. You want to go see the Chiefs play? We got a lot of upcoming games at Arrowhead Stadium, and they've got tickets. The Bears will be here on the 24th. The Broncos will be here October 12th. There you go. That Broncos game is prime time, baby. 7:15. That's a Thursday night game. You want tickets? Ticketsforless.com. Promo code is KKHI. Or if it's easier for you to just call them, call the local number, 913-685-3322. That's 913-685-3322. 3322. Earth Effects Outdoor is your new landscape company. We love our friends at Earth Effects Outdoor. They're awesome dudes. They can do all kinds of great work for you this fall. If you're looking to beautify your property with maybe a water feature or you need a retaining wall, outdoor kitchens, hardscapes, lighting, all your landscape needs, Earth Effects Outdoor. Anywhere in a metro area, they're online at eeoutdoor.com. That's 816-478-7700. They've been in business over 25 years. Daniel is a devout Christian, and he is a great American patriot, and he runs his company this way, and his folks are really, really solid people. Earth Effects Outdoor, eeoutdoor.com. My favorite news story of this week, early this week, is the activist freaks that stormed into Kevin McCarthy's office in the Capitol building on Monday. Several of them, at least three, were videotaped, but there apparently were more. They are, I don't know, so they're wanting something extended for 5 years. I don't know these things. They all had HIV t-shirts on or AIDS t-shirts. They storm into McCarthy's office and they won't leave. They sit down, they chant, they scream, they're disrupting, and everybody's videotaping them, and the Capitol Police eventually had to come and take them out. This is not uncommon, right? This somehow this stuff happens. This needs to be, right now, the biggest story for Republicans. They should take this and absolutely run with it and demand that arrests be made for insurrection of these people, that they are charged with the exact same crimes the January Sixers were charged with, that they appoint the same judges and the same process to prosecute these people and jail them for years. Richard Barnett is the man on January 6th that found his way into Nancy Pelosi's office. She was the Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy is the Speaker of the House. It is the same crime. Richard Barnett has been sentenced to 4.5 years in prison. 4.5 years for that crime. We cannot, we must not have a double standard. I don't know the procedure to get this done, but the fact that I haven't heard anything out of Kevin McCarthy yet makes me sick. Drop the Biden crap, forget talking about Trump, and forget the elections. Step forward, find the guys, the Republicans and the women, the men and women in the House that are the legal eagles, and follow the process, and let's do this. Charge them with insurrection. They were attempting to change government laws. They were. That was their purpose, was to go in there and change a law and force Republicans to do it. They did it by illegal means of trespassing, whatever they were charged with. What was the guy charged with in Pelosi's office? He was sitting in her office, which is exactly what all of these people did. They must all be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and show America, you do it this way, we do it this way. If it fails, if the charges get dismissed, you've got even more to run on. This has to be done. You can't have something so identical. They weren't going in there on January 6th to overturn the election. How were they going to do that? Those people didn't have any votes. They didn't have any guns. They didn't have any weapons. They weren't overthrowing the government or overturning the election. That is just the most stupid thing I've ever heard. They were protesting an outcome of election they didn't believe in. These people were protesting a law that's apparently expiring or sunsetting or something. And they're demanding that Republicans do this or what? We're going to keep breaking in here? We're going to make your life a living hell? We're going to occupy your office. That's what they call it. Insurrection versus occupation or demonstration. McCarthy, get off your ass and do this. I don't care how you do it. Go get the chief of the Capitol Police and get these people arrested. What'd they do with them? They just let them go? They fingerprint them? Did they file them? Did they get their names? What did they do with these people? Put them in jail now. Jail them. Start the process. If it fizzles out, let's refile all kinds of lawsuits against the federal government or the Capitol Police or anybody that jailed these J6ers. These people do not deserve to be in prison. They do not. This is absurd. We cannot have a double standard. We sit here and talk about the double standard of the law in this country. This is the best example for anyone in America to see. Man sits in Pelosi's office 4.5 years. Group of people sit in McCarthy's office, zippo. Get it done. I don't care what you have to do. Arrest these people, charge them with crimes, and let's start the process of jailing them for years. This one really fires me up, folks. Oh, our president had a bad 9/11. He had a bad 9/11. He wasn't anywhere prominent. He found himself in Alaska where he made some more goofy comments. Then he said off the cuff that he visited Ground Zero the day after it happened in 2001. He did not visit Ground Zero the day after it happened. The White House cannot provide any sort of evidence that Joe Biden was there the day after it happened. The nearest anyone can tell is he went with a group of senators on a train from D.C. to New York 9 days later. 9 days later. And as a group with others in security saw the damage. 9 days later. And our president lied to us again. He said he remembers the horror of being there the day after. Well, that's all anyone hears. Checking the facts don't matter anymore. And the media is all in on it. And nobody's going to say this is a crazy old man. And that's all he is. In addition to that, the entire operation is completely and utterly tone deaf. On 9/11, yesterday, the Biden administration announces that they've completed a prisoner swap with Iran. Five of ours for five of theirs. Oh, this is like a baseball trade. Plus cash considerations. Five prisoners for five prisoners. And we're giving Iran, the largest sponsor of terrorism in the world, $6 billion that we had locked up. It's being released to them. He announced that on 9/11. It's every day. This is so stupid that I'm here every day with these same dumb stories. How about this one? Transportation Secretary Jennifer Granholm goes on an electric car trip. They're going through the upper Midwest somewhere, electric car trip. There weren't enough chargers. They got stymied installed. What did they do? They sent part of their crew on the trip. They got them. They rented them gas cars, filled them up with gas, and said, go ahead in front of us and reserve us spots at charging stations so when we get there, we can charge and keep going. The gas cars pull up to charging stations 100 miles ahead and block the spaces. One family trying to charge their car called the police on the government people in gas cars, blocking spots at charging stations, waiting for Jennifer Granholm to get there so that in front of the cameras, she can charge her car and keep going. It's just unbelievable. It's remarkable. Craziness. This from an outfit called Leading Report. They have a website called leadingreport.com. I looked at their site. There's a lot of stuff on there about medicine, health. They're clearly anti-big pharma, this website is. They have a lot of viewers, a lot of followers and whatnot. I can't, this is not one where I can just sit here and tell you I'm buying this, okay? According to Leading Report, Trump lawyers are in discovery, I guess, in Georgia, in the election fraud case. They are reporting that in 2021, June, over 100,000 names were removed from voter rolls in Georgia. Now, that's going to be easy to prove or disprove. So I'm not going to question that in any way. Trump lawyers in Georgia are saying in court, to the court, in the election fraud case, these numbers are shocking, folks. Are you ready for this? 2,506 felons voted illegally in Georgia. 66,248 people that were not 18 on Election Day voted in Georgia. 2,423 people voted that were not registered. 1,043 people voted with illegal post office box votes. 4,926 people were registered past the date of registration and allowed to vote. 10,315 people that were dead on Election Day voted. 395 registered Georgians voted in other states. 15,700 changed their address and were allowed to vote. 40,279 moved across a county line and failed to re-register, thus their votes are illegal. This is a staggering number of votes. We're looking at what? Close to a couple hundred thousand right there? Illegal votes? If they have the goods on that, if that's proven in court, if they can prove it, and I don't know that they can, I'm just telling you what Leading Report reported. If they can prove that in court, everything everywhere gets thrown out against Donald Trump. You got no chance. They can just walk from one courtroom to another with that, and it's over. If they can prove that, and I don't know that they can prove it. I'm just telling you what an outfit, leadingreport.com, reported that those are the actual numbers of what Trump lawyers have in Georgia, and they're claiming in discovery that they will prove it in court that this all happened. If that's the case, wow. That means for 3 years, Trump and his lawyers have been working nonstop to prove this election was fake. That would be amazing. In the federal case, the judge is named Tanya Chutkin, right? Is that Chutkin? C-H-U-T-K-I-N. Tanya Chutkin is an Obama appointee at a federal level. Trump's lawyers are demanding she recuse herself from the case. This, again, is the January 6th ballot voting, voter fraud case. They have pulled Judge Chutkin's record, and in at least three cases where she presided over J6ers at trial, she made comments that President Trump is free but shouldn't be. On the record in trials, not a tweet, not a memo to a girlfriend, not an email, in court, while addressing those that were convicted, you're guilty, convicted, she addresses them when it's over and says, yeah, this, you do have a claim to make a little bit here that you were coerced or induced to do this by the president. She would just go on and on and on about the president. Yeah, you were excited, I understand, so maybe I'll give a little leniency on that because, as you know, President Trump is free and he shouldn't be. This has been her stance. Her stance since January 6th is President Trump should be locked up, and now she's the judge in his case? How is she not thrown out? I'm sorry, how is she not thrown out? How can this possibly stand? And I don't care what these convictions are on Trump. They're going to get appealed to the Supreme Court. He's not going to be guilty of any of these. No matter what happens, there will be appeals. And in a case of a presidential election, the appeal should go straight to the Supreme Court. Immediately. Bypass all other courts. Straight to the Supreme Court. And how do you think that's going to work out for Trump? He's going to be fine. He hasn't committed crimes here, folks, and everybody knows it. Can you not file something with the Supreme Court to get this judge thrown out? See, if they can just get to a point in these trials where they can get judges tossed or a witness has been found to have lied, we need an extension, they can just push everything past the election. You just need a couple little glitches in the system, and everything just gets pushed back. And we all know that these trials will be dumped after the election. Everybody knows that. Nobody's going to go after Trump. If he wins, he's going to be president. Go after him all you want. Good luck. If he loses, they're not going to care anymore. They're just going to let him go because he's not going to come back and run again. How can that judge be on a case? Essentially said multiple times to those convicted for January 6th crimes that President Trump is free, but he shouldn't be. How can that judge preside over his trial? in the United States of America, and it's a former president? What are we doing? Oh, God. All right, our final is brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. Call John or Heather Hutchins at 913-901-7139. Franchises are available. You want to start your own small business? These are wonderful opportunities with a very small upfront investment. If you're willing to work hard and go do the work yourself and do the job right, you can do this. It's a great opportunity for a young person just starting out in their 20s maybe that didn't necessarily want to go to college and do the whole corporate thing. This is great. Run your own business. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Call them for more information. Joslyn's Jewelry, online at joslynsjewelry.com. They're located at 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Joslyn's is the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. And MyPillow.com, now half price. They've got a half price sale going on right now at MyPillow.com on towels, sheets, blankets, all kinds of cool stuff for winter. It's not too early to be thinking about Christmas presents. Slippers, all kinds of goodies on there for Christmas this fall. Check it out at MyPillow.com. Your promo code is KKHI. If you like to call, just call this number, 800-923-9034. That's 800-923-9034. MyPillow.com has a promo code of KKHI, and it's the max promo code. Our final is the farewell tour of the legendary rock band Aerosmith. Aerosmith's on a farewell tour. I like a couple Aerosmith songs. No problem at all. I've not seen them. They're not on my list. I don't really care to go. I think they're in their 70s now. Steven Tyler's a cool dude. I get it all. I get Aerosmith. I get why people love Aerosmith. This is their farewell tour. And this, unlike some other tours, they're like, no, seriously, we're too old to do this anymore. This is it. I think they're scheduled to be here maybe in November at T-Mobile Center. Steven Tyler has just canceled at least the next month of the tour, maybe longer. He's the lead singer of Aerosmith. You undoubtedly know him or would know him if you saw him. His vocal cords are damaged, and this is not unusual for singers, but if you listen to Steven Tyler sing, you wonder how he could be 70 and have any vocal cords left. I've used my vocal cords my whole life, but not singing and not shouting all that much. When I go to football games, I don't shout, I whistle. The trouble I have with my voice is when I go to concerts, they get so loud, or if I get around music, I still talk with my friends, and then I find myself really talking loud and I can really damage them. I've talked a lot in my life. Still not the same as singing, not even close. Steven Tyler's vocal cords were so damaged, they bled. Doctors shut him down, said talk very little, and you darn sure are not singing a word for at least 30 days. So they're going to, I think, reschedule some of the dates and hope that he has a full recovery, but I don't know. That's kind of a sad one there, Steven Tyler. There is no doubt, as much as anybody else that ever sang, Steven Tyler pushes his vocal cords. He doesn't seem like a really natural singer. A lot of it is really screaming. Just real tension on your vocal cords. But I guess we're fans of Aerosmith and Steven Tyler, right? They've never hurt anybody. I'm going to guess we got a lot of great Aerosmith fans in this audience. I've enjoyed some of their songs. Janie's Got a Gun. That's a good one. I like that one. So good luck, Steven Tyler. Get well, and maybe the Kansas City date will still happen. Great having you here at KKHI. Thank you so much. My vocal cords are running dry right now. I need a little drink of water, so we're going to shut this one down. If you don't mind, hit that like or follow button, or tell a friend that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.